The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is 1 Corinthians 15, also known as the Resurrection Chapter, about justification, being born again? Or is it more about sanctification and glorification? Let's talk about this in the next few minutes as you join us for Grace in Focus. And thank you for being here. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas, and we'd love for you to get to know more about us at our website, faithalone.org. There you can get order details about Bob's new book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, and find other resources as well. That's faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Well, Mike, what question do you have for us today?
Yeah, we have a couple of questions here from Anne. And the first question she's asking is, all that's required for a person to believe is that the Lord Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, shed his precious blood for their sins, and rose again on the third day.
Now, you know, that's a pretty common question a lot of people have. They have it because of one particular passage of Scripture. And what passage would that be, Mike?
1 Corinthians 15, verses, I believe, 1 through 3?
Yeah, or 1 through 4.
4, okay.
All right, so let's look there, and y'all can turn if you have your Bibles and you're not driving. If not, you can remember in your head. But and by the way, there was one version of the King James Version that they had a misprint here, and it said, "Move over, brethren." So it's, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand." That's verse 1. Now, the word gospel, I have a chapter in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, refers to various good news in the New Testament. One of which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which is found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Often it refers simply to the birth of Jesus or to the birth of John the Baptist. In the book of Galatians, it refers to the message of justification by faith alone. But here it's talking specifically about the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, it's interesting, New Testament scholar N.T. Wright, he says that the good news in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is ultimately the resurrection, not just the resurrection of Jesus, but our resurrection, because 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 is part of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11, which is all an introduction to the chapter on the resurrection, our bodily resurrection, that we're going to be changed. And N.T. Wright says the good news here is that we will be immortal and we will have glorified bodies. And the chapter ends with a statement about eternal rewards, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. And the reason it's not in vain is because we're going to rise from the dead and we're going to be glorified. So let's look at 2, 3, and 4, and that's where Anne and others get confused. How about reading verse 2, Mike?
Sure. "By which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain."
Okay, now, a lot of people see the word saved here and think it's talking about being saved from eternal condemnation. But if that were the case, then why does he say, "if you hold fast that word which I preach to you"? In other words, this salvation is conditioned on perseverance.
Right.
You must continue to hold fast to the word which I preached, which is, as he's about to say, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and his resurrection appearances, post-resurrection appearances.
Yeah, if you don't hold fast, you won't be saved.
Basically. Right. And then he says, unless you believed in vain, and the unless you believed in vain part would be, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you believed in vain. Look at verses, what is it? It's around verse 19. "If in this life only we hope in Christ, we of all men are most pitiable."
Yeah.
Or verse 17, "and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." So the whole point of verse 2 is that if Jesus is not risen from the dead, then your faith is in vain, and you must hold fast to the good news of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, in order to continue to be saved. Well, what is this salvation? Well, I argue elsewhere, you can go to faithalone.org and see an article on 1 Corinthians 15:2, that this is sanctification. He's talking about being spiritually healthy. Remember, Jesus said, your faith has made you well after people have touched the hem of his garment or he's healed people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sometimes translated, your faith has healed you, but the Greek has the same word, sozo, saved you. It's made you well, is the way it's translated often. And here, I think it means you're spiritually well, you're spiritually healthy, if you hold fast to the good news which I preached to you. Well, then notice verses 3 and 4. Would you read those?
Sure. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Notice the repetition according to the Scriptures. It's tied both to his death and his resurrection. Now, his burial is also according to the Scriptures, but it doesn't specifically say it regarding that element, although I suppose you could argue it's included because it says burial and rose. Yeah. But the point is the Old Testament prophesied about his death, burial, and resurrection. And those are truths we cannot abandon without disrupting our spiritual life. We still have everlasting life, but we no longer have fellowship with God if we abandon Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection.
There are a couple of Grace Evangelical Society regional conferences coming up soon. First, August 16th through 18th at Bismarck, North Dakota, Eternal Treasures, a study on rewards for the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Also, Dallas-Fort Worth, October 25th and 26th in East Dallas at Ridgepoint Fellowship. There is more information and a brochure on each of these at our website, faithalone.org/events. So please come yourself or invite others who are close by. Find out more, faithalone.org/events.
He goes on in verses 5 through 11 to talk about Jesus' various post-resurrection appearances. Then he moves on to talk about the fact that we're going to be resurrected. And it turns out, by the way, that some in the church in Corinth were beginning to not believe in the bodily resurrection of the dead. And so that's why Paul is talking about Jesus' resurrection and our resurrection. He's saying you can't abandon the thought of resurrection. As you know, there are people in Christianity, and Anne, I think you may be familiar with this, that think the destiny of Christians is heaven.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think we're going to be resurrected. They think we're going to be disembodied spirits floating on some cloud somewhere. We're not going to be disembodied spirits. We're going to be raised. He goes on to talk about we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And that's talking about the rapture. We're going to be raptured. We'll be glorified. We're going to be resurrected, glorified. And we will live forever with the Lord in perfect, glorified bodies. And that's part of the good news. Now, if a person believes that, does that mean they're born again? There's nothing in this passage that says that.
Yeah, that's really what Anne is trying to get at. She wants to know what does she need to believe in order to be saved.
Well, you wouldn't go to this passage then. You would go to John 3:16.
I'm sure she's not asking about being saved at the judgment seat of Christ. She's asking eternal salvation, one's eternal destiny. How can she have it?
And for that, you need to believe that Jesus guarantees her eternal destiny simply because she believes in him. He guarantees her eternal destiny because she believes his promise that he who believes in me has everlasting life, John 6:47. Or for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but has everlasting life. You see, Anne, it's sadly possible to believe that Jesus died and rose again and believe that in order to have everlasting life, I must persevere in faith and good works until I die.
And why should Anne be listening to you and say, you're going to the Gospel of John instead of this passage here in 1 Corinthians?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians is not an evangelistic book. That's a great question, Mike. John is an evangelistic book. John 20:31, he says he's writing to his unbelieving readers that they may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing they may have life in his name. So that's why we go to John. But you can also go, for example, to the book of Galatians, where Paul defends his gospel of justification by faith alone, And you can see in Galatians 2:16, for example, that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Christ. He says that three times in Galatians. Or you could go to Ephesians 2:8-9, a verse the Lord used with both of us to come to faith.
Yeah.
And it's by grace, through faith in Christ, apart from works.
Right.
There's lots of other verses you could look at, but the best place to go is the Gospel of John, because repeatedly John quotes the Lord Jesus as saying that the one who believes in him has everlasting life. So, in answer to Ann's question, no, you are not born again by believing that Jesus died and rose again. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection should get you to believe in his promise of life. Until a person believes that promise, they're not born again. Once they do, they are. Now, I think she has a follow-up about prayer, right?
So she's asking, okay, you've established we need to believe in Jesus for what he promises to have everlasting life. She's now asking, well, does a person need to pray about this? Is there a prayer required in order to be saved?
And the answer there would be no, because we don't find a single example anywhere in the ministry of Jesus or the apostles where they say, you must pray some prayer to be born again, to have everlasting life. We don't find an example of where they lead a person in prayer to be born again. In order to be born again, a person has to believe. It's sadly possible that a person can pray and say, Jesus, please give me salvation, and yet not believe the promise of life. Lots of people have said, hundreds of times said, God, please save me. Please come into my life. I'm inviting you into my life. I was never saved any of those times because I didn't yet understand and believe John 3:16.
Yeah, John 3:16 says believe. John 6:47 says believe. Neither of them say pray.
Now, prayer is a good thing to get you to the point of belief.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage people, read the Gospel of John and pray. Lord, show me, is it really as simple as just believing in Jesus for his promise of eternal life? And that once I believe in him, I'm secure forever. I'll never perish. I'll never hunger. I'll never thirst. I'll never die. I'll never be cast out. I encourage that. But the prayer is not to be saved. The prayer is to find the truth to be saved. And once I believe the truth, I'm saved. And the truth is that Jesus is the Messiah who guarantees everlasting life to all who believe in him. Great questions, Anne. And I would encourage all of you to study the scriptures, because the scriptures are the word of God. And the scriptures tell us the truth of both justification and sanctification. And in the meantime,
keep grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, if I lose assurance, do I also lose eternal life? Please join us for that. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.